Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this evening's radio broadcast. Today is the fifth day of April, year 2017, and we've entitled today's program, Criminal Injustice and MGTOW. Our guest will be Jay of Downtown White Police Renown, and he will join us here shortly. Before we get into the heart of the matter, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Now, over a week ago, we lost a very dear patriot and sister in Yahweh. That tribute, unfortunately, was during a period when we were having technical difficulties. So at this time, if you would share with me a moment of silence for Miss Betty Virginia, from the state of Louisiana and partially in Arkansas. Just a few seconds here for lifting her up to our Heavenly Father Yahweh. All right, amen. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And again, tonight's program, we're coming to you over Eurofolk Radio, and I have a few quotes here and scriptures, and then we'll bring Jay on the program. Thomas Jefferson said that when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. I sure hope you're paying attention, folks. Thomas Paine further told us that the strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance. Please remember that. It is the fear of resisting evil that the evil and wicked of this world count on, your fear. That's why Christ told us so many times, if you fear for your life, you will lose your life. He didn't mean in the sense of you taking your life. He meant that you will be able to be pushed around because you won't stand for anything because of your fear. George Washington told us that when the government takes away a citizen's right to bear arms, it becomes the citizen's duty to take away government's right to govern. And you can read it for yourself in the Pennsylvania State Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, where it is stated succinctly as such. Thomas Jefferson also backed it up when he said the constitutions of most of our states and of the United States, or States United, assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves, that it is their right and duty to be at all times armed, that they are entitled to freedom of person, freedom of religion, freedom of property, and freedom of the press. Again, Thomas Jefferson. Real quick, a couple of scriptures for you. Romans 13, verses 2 through 4. Therefore, he who resists the authority withstands the ordinance of Yahweh God. And those who withstand will receive to themselves judgment. Okay, now this is the verse, number 2, that they use against us all the time. However, there's more to the story. Verse 3 says, for rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. Do you desire to have no fear of the authority? Then do that which is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he, meaning the rulers, is a servant of Yahweh to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is a servant of Yahweh, an avenger for wrath to him who does evil. You can discern from these verses, folks, that we are to give obedience to authority when the authority is upholding righteousness and not evil. When the authorities are the ones committing the evil, then it switches around to what they used to say during the American Revolution and during the Civil War even. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. All right, Jay, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the program, Jay. Ladies and gentlemen, again, this is Jay, and you can hear Jay on the YouTube channel Downtown White Police. And if you would, Jay, just take a couple minutes for a quick intro to some of the new listeners.
No problem. I am a current law enforcement officer, and I do videos with James Lancia, who had wrote the book Downtown White Police, who is a legend of law enforcement, and we just try to reach out to people and let them know that, you know, of what the truth is. We're aware of the racial truth. We're aware of who the problem is and the enemy is, and there are cops like that out there, and we recognize that in a bit. Right now, cops are kind of they're running the ragged edge of are they protectors of their citizens or are they pawns of the oppressor? And, you know, as much as we expose truth, we try to reach out to them to say you need to start acting and talking and making your voice heard and standing up for your people because they're relying on you to do it. And you're not. And we talk about a lot of different things, and that's just basic introduction of it.
Yeah, that's very good, Jay. All right, then let's go ahead and get into the first part of our program where we're going to talk about what I consider a case of criminal injustice, which is the Daniel Holtzclaw case. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Is it Holtzclaw?
Yep.
Okay. Daniel Holtzclaw of Oklahoma City. He's a police officer, and from everything I have looked into it, it looks like he was railroaded for political correctness reasons, but I'd like you to give the audience your take on exactly what went down with that thing.
All right. I'll try to give it the rudimentary quick step. And I encourage everyone to go online, go to YouTube when you after this and watch. Michelle Malkin has got an hour and a half video you can watch. And Donna Davidson, she's the runner of a channel called Feminism LOL, out of Canada. She has some 2 10-minute clip videos that'll get you the basics on it, and I encourage you to go watch those. And there is a website, freedanielholtzclaw.com, I think it is. Go look and you'll find it. Michelle Malkin talks about it. There's links in the site where you can read even more. And this has to do with a very interesting guy who really helped break this all open. And it's quite the unlikely ally for cops, I'll tell you what. But this is strange all the way around. Daniel Holtzclaw is a family type of cop. His father was a cop in the same department I believe he's a cop at. His father married a Japanese police officer, and he was born 1986. He's of white and Japanese descent. He is a big guy. He's a big guy, not a bad look guy. He's actually pretty ripped. He probably looks a little like, I don't know if James was the same size. James probably a little bigger, but he's one of them SWAT type, you know, go-getter cops that are running around out there. And between the years of 2000, that supposedly this got started in 2013 and through 2014, all of a sudden, they say that he decided, this health nut workout guy, like, you know, it's one of the wheat germ eating type of guys, decides that he wants to go get black. He wants to start forcing black prostitute scumbag. These are all criminals. These are all got probation charges. Some of them are pretty hideous. All of a sudden, this guy decides he wants to get sexual relations with these women. Makes no sense, but, and especially when you consider the fact that the current rape statistics from the FBI, and I don't know if this is a direct quote from the last one, but it's something to the effect of white on black, white men raping black female women is 0.012% or number too small to count. But here's this one guy who's mostly white or whatever, we'll just call him white for the time being, decides that he's just going to go do this. And there were originally 20 accusers. It started with one, and you can go watch how the original one went down. Her descriptions of what this guy looked like were completely different than what he actually looks like. He has dark hair. You can tell he's that Chinese descent. And she didn't describe that. She said he had blonde hair, said he was bigger around. it was really messed up. But anyway, they got the one. They got him in. They're doing the interview. He didn't even bring his attorney in. And anybody that's a cop knows, you know, if you ever get accused of something like that, if I ever give anyone legal advice, cops talk to you, shut up. Do not talk to cops. Don't do it. Shut up and get an attorney. That's why they're there. And he's been out long enough doing this that he felt these people were his brothers, because it's kind of like in a weird way when something like this goes down, and it does happen where, you know, it's a railroading and they decide to do it. We'll get into why I think that might be later, but it's just like in that scene from Goodfellas. Your killers don't come up and say they were here to get you. Your killers come as your friends and loved ones and at a time when you're at your weakest and need their help the most. So he probably felt it was okay, because blacks lay false allegations against cops constantly, constantly. They're constantly got things going on. So he just thought it was just another – not a big deal. Well, you know, this investigator, this feminist-looking investigator, I'll just say that, decides that's female. She decides, oh, she's negative. She believes this woman. Why, I don't know, but she decides she's going to believe her, and she goes after him, and she gets him, you know, that we're trained to do that verbal judo, and, you know, eventually she got him to say enough things where she had the arrest, and she made him take his clothes off, never bothered to put gloves on, put the clothes in the bag. That's just something I noticed. And arrested him, charged him with rape of that girl. Well, all of a sudden, after that, I don't know if they had these just lying around and they piled them all on so they could get them off their case packages list, or if it was all just ones that came out of nowhere. And originally, there was 20 of them. They ended up having to drop like 7 of those because their stories were so ridiculous that, you know, it would have brought down the whole case. And that doesn't mean the other 13 were very good. The other 13 were really stupid. He's arrested in December of 2015. This is Oklahoma City. Think about December of 2015. It's riots everywhere. It's Trump's versus Hillary. It's all going on. We're having all these problems, and Oklahoma does not want to have a riot. So that's just one potential motive. But you could tell he was getting railroaded from the get-go. FOP, he's you pay an FOP, remember FOP is supposed to pride you with an attorney. Your attorney is supposed to guard you jealously. FOP dumped him immediately. Would not help him or pay for his law enforcement costs. From what I understand, somebody told me that wasn't true, but Michelle Mackinson in her show and the document looked legit. I'll have to fact check that one, but that's messed up in itself, too. This is supposed to be a law enforcement family agency. His father was that. I can see no cop support. Nobody said anything, and I'm sure their chief said, don't say and make any comments on this case. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're a brother law enforcement officer and you see this is going down and you don't, especially at this point, try to stick up, I think it's a little messed up through a real sad state what we're at, but we'll talk about that later. Well, it ends up going to, first he was in the county jail for a while. They finally got some bond on him, and They eventually went to trial, and do you believe that was around November 2015, somewhere in there, and he was convicted by December. Now, what happened is they took DNA from his zipper crotch area, and that was the one DNA sample that went on with one of these 13 girls. Was a 17-year-old runaway that – I don't know if you hear it again, but I think this 17-year-old has a daughter that was – it was definitely, you know, degenerate – family life that this girl came from. But anyway, she had sex with her, and they found her DNA on his zipper from where they took the clothes. They only tested the zipper area. That's all they tested, that area. That's it. And they found that DNA on, found her DNA and his touch DNA. And, you know, Michelle Macklin goes into his videos. Touch DNA is very sketchy. I could shake your hand and then go touch a bottle in Pastor Dan's house, and then Pastor Dan can pick that bottle up, and now he's got the touch DNA on him. And then all of a sudden you make a rape allegation, and I find touch DNA on him, and it's very sketchy.
You know what that sounds like, Jay?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, that sounds like back in the day when they were claiming cash was from cocaine dealers because they found traces of cocaine on it. And then they found out when people started looking into it, virtually all cash has a minute trace of it, because eventually cash gets in everybody's hands. So to say that there was a trace element of cocaine, therefore it was okay to confiscate the money, was a bogus thing.
Yes, yeah, and this stuff goes on more than we think. I could go through some numbers, but there's a DOJ statistic. And for example, we arrest law enforcement between county, state, all of that. We arrest and put guys in handcuffs and haul them down to the jail, probably about, it was something like $10 million or something a year. I need to double check the numbers. However, of those $10 million, only 88,000 were ever convicted of anything. And that means that you're talking, what, 9 point something million that were never actually were arrested and had their freedom taken away. Maybe it was for a day, a night, whatever, that never got convicted of anything. Now, that's through null processes. Maybe that, you know, dumbing the charge down, or they gave them diversion programs. They may be counting those, and that may make a bunch of them. I'll have to try to get those numbers. People like to look at that. But this stuff happens, guys. This stuff happens, and we're in denial about it, and it does go on. And you know, when you're a law enforcement officer, you have the right to take people's freedom away, and cops not appreciate that right of what it is. That's huge in a nation like America that is built on the blood of men who died to fight to have freedom, and you have the right to take that freedom away. And every time in court, if it's just your opinion versus the suspect's opinion, your opinion will always be taken first. You're considered better than him. You are. You're considered that. You're considered more reliable than he is. Almost always will. If anybody's done traffic court and tried to fight that, a lot of times guys find out that's what you're arguing. You're arguing he's full of crap and you're telling the truth. Well, the cop always wins because of that. You know, we're supposedly held to this higher standard. Well, things like this, and you got to think, we caught this one. How many did we not catch? Is there an epidemic going on? Well, I'm kind of myself. I'll get into the case. He gets convicted, and what happened is that was the big nail that drove in the coffin. The jury was actually very irresponsible, and I find the fact that the judge and attorneys allow this stuff to happen, I didn't know this went on either, is sick. It is sick. What the jury did is of the 13 or whatever, no, I think it was 37 or 57 charges. I think there's a lot of charges. They found him innocent on a bunch of them, but it wasn't because they actually sat down in the jury room and picked through the evidence and figured out which they're supposed to do, and figure out which ones don't add up and which ones they don't like, and say, all right, we're going to vote not guilty on these. What they actually did was very lazy. They just split the charges in half. They split it in half, divided it, and said, okay, well, we know some bull crap going on. We don't feel like looking into all these to find out exactly which one's crap, which one's not. So we'll just split it in half and we'll say he's guilty of these. And they were like, okay, we feel good about this. This is an all-white jury too. This is an all-white jury. Okay, we feel good about that, and went back out, and they judge sentenced him to 263 years in prison. Later on, he, of course, is pushing his innocence, and this one guy, and he's one of these cop watcher types. Every county's got them. Everybody knows who they are. They're the guys running around videotaping, and you know, some of them are fair. Other ones are kind of wild about it. We're the enemy, but you know, cops get contempt for them. But I'll tell you what, guys, I don't care how dumb you think your critics are, you always should be learning something from your critics. You should always reflect upon what your critics are. Do they have a point? Don't dwell on it, but you got to ask yourself, okay, do they have a point? Especially when they start getting really popular. Well, this guy was, and they actually, Holtzclaw said he was warned about this guy when he was in training to become a law enforcement officer. His instructor said, stay away from this guy, he's after cops, he's trouble. Well, I'll tell you what, if it was not for this guy taking it upon himself to try to look into this and get him some justice, Michelle Malkin never would have taken notice, because this guy's kind of like a James B. He had following on YouTube, a little local following, nobody knew who it was. Someone like Michelle Malkin, I don't know if she followed his Twitter or just found something interesting, but it caught her. Also, Michelle Malkin is of Oriental descent. Maybe she might be mixed, and that's a race backing up a race thing, which we're okay with. We think that's a good sign. You know, hell, I think that was a unique factor of it, that it was her that came and decided to really go out of her way to expose this, because this is a touchy subject. Not only is it women accusing a man of rape, which immediately triggers a lot of people, but it's black women accusing a white guy. I mean, the black people consider this was a a win. I mean, there are leaders of Black Lives Matter that were right before the trial was the jury was delivering. There's this woman saying, "I cannot guarantee the safety of I cannot guarantee."
Hello? Are you there, Jay? Jay, did you mute yourself out? Hello? All right, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, looks like we lost Jay. And I'm not sure why we did, because as far as my end is concerned, it looked like it was a pretty good connection. So... okay. Now, here we go. Jay?
Am I coming back through now?
Yeah.
Glitch. All right, I'll try to get right back into the flow. What was the last thing you heard me say?
You were talking about Michelle Machen and why she picked up with this case. And that,
oh, yes,
and of course. There's a preponderance of black women charging white cops with crime.
Well, yeah, and, well, there's a preponderance of white women doing it, too. I mean, if you pay attention to any men's rights stuff, you pay, especially in Canada, it happens a lot. Now, I'll tell you, this is a dirty secret of law enforcement. We don't talk about it, but it's a fact. Everybody knows it. And you talk to any major crimes detective that specializes in rape cases, and it's an absolute fact. 80 to 90% of rape allegations are false. They are. They are. They're leveled false. Now, what happens is a lot of them, the regular road guy is going to show up first. Shows up in the hospital. There's this woman. She's going on about everything. He's taking the information. And that's considered a serious thing. They got those guys on call. They'll call the detective up. Detective will, immediately he knows this. So he'll be like, all right, ask these few questions to her. Just ask this and get it back. And then usually a lot of times they'll say things like, well, I didn't know who the guy was. And then it gets shaky. And then a lot of them are squashed on that night. A lot of them end up squashed. And what happens is while the call is open originally, say the guy's on a 12-hour shift, the call comes in at 9 o'clock. He's at the hospital. Detectives come down. As long as that call is open the original time, if they get it figured out that it's actually crap that she's coming up with for whatever reason she's doing this, and it's not a true story, and they change the call. They'll change it to, instead of a rape allegation, it would be assisting the public or something. And they'll change the call so when people review the cases, it does not come up as a rape. Because guys will get statistics on, okay, well, how many rape cases actually go through and get investigated? And they'll look at those, but a lot of them get squashed that night, and they don't get those numbers because it's not closed out at that, and they just ignore those. Those don't come up when they do a search in their computer system usually, and that's how it kind of works, but everybody knows it. That's the way it is. And the idea of, so already it's false allegation. You know that stuff's happening. You know you got to kick it out there. But even more so, it is a health nut of a white cop who is not a bad-looking guy. He's young. He's 27. He is crazy that he's going to mess around with AIDS-infected black prostitutes that are crap. I mean, one of the girls, the first time he met her, was because she had been hiding PCP in her mouth, and she accidentally broke the capsule in her mouth, and she was flipping out because she was on PCP, and he basically had to wrestle her down and take her to the hospital, and he was sitting there talking with her at the hospital, and oftentimes they'll unload on. Sometimes you find yourself as kind of like a bartender. Guys, people unload all their problems, and they're hitting rock bottom in front of you. They'll burst into tears and everything, and he probably was trying to, everything will be okay, and da-da-da, and he really wanted to be a helper. And what happened is after she was out, she found him on Facebook and said, who knows what she said. Maybe she said to him, hey, I just want to let you know that I got out of the hospital. Thanks for being nice to me that night. And he replied to her. Once they got the first arrest on him, all of a sudden they're coming out of the woodwork. Oh, he raped me too, and she was one of them, and she used that as evidence to show that, oh yeah, he was trying to contact me. And the detectives latched on to this. They latched on, and it was another nail in the coffin that should have been a nail that was thrown out immediately. But, so the idea that this guy was doing this is really insane, and anybody could have seen this was definitely a railroading. The question is, why? why. Now, he's still in prison right now. He was convicted in 2015. The Michelle Malkin thing, I think, came out, I think, this year. But that guy was already starting the website and putting information out, trying to say, like, within by January or February of 2016, less than a few months after the trial, they were already starting the work on it. Michelle Malkin picked it up sometime, I think maybe in August 2016, and then she put the documentary out recently, and there's a lot of information, a lot of it coming out, and right now that guy is still in prison, and most people remember, like, he busted into tears right there on the spot when he heard 263 years, and I know a lot of people, I have to admit, maybe I was suspicious of it from the get-go because I've seen this stuff coming, but years ago, if I'd have seen that, I'd have gone, oh, yeah, well, scumbag, get what you deserve. Well, you know what? If I'd have been 27 and that would have happened to me and all my brothers abandoned me and everybody just let me fry and I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, I'm going to prison. No one's going to believe this. I am the rapist demon of Oklahoma City. No one's ever going to believe me. I'd probably bust into crying right there, too. I probably would have. They're damn lucky he didn't hang himself in his cell. Those kind of guys, when you do damage to guys like that, that win and succeed and fight, when they lose hard like that, they feel absolutely abandoned. So many of them kill themselves. And, men kill themselves all the time over honor issues, abandonment. And it is bad, the numbers. And I'm proud of the guy. He didn't do that. I wouldn't be surprised to find out he does have some sort of religious background to him, because I don't know where he found the strength to live through those first few months of going to that prison and realizing, oh my God, this is going to be the rest of my life.
Well, that's the first clue that there's something wrong. How the hell does this guy, we're not talking about murder or kidnapping here. How does he end up with a sentence of 263 years when we got people that have brutally kidnapped, raped, and murdered people that don't even get a tenth of that? So how did that happen?
Oh, it's quite clear. They made an example of him. I haven't done it yet, and I guarantee if somebody started digging, you're going to find out that the Oklahoma City's probably got leftist, Democrat, black leaders, maybe. And there's going to be this political correctness element of it, but it's so quick. Everybody ran to that so fast. There's got to be something internally departmentally too. There's got to be something within the internal department politics that's going on too. Somebody, there's some guy in there that had to be looking at that and going, you know what, guys, that's bull crap. There's something crappy going on. Why that did not cause some sort of insurrection? Why there has not been some officer that just kicked so much of a fuss that he got fired or he's transferred to another agency and he's come out and said something? I don't know, because, man, I could not look at myself in the mirror. If you, my fellow officer, my friend, and I had not come out to say, dude, I'm a cop right now, I'll tell you, he didn't do that. He did not do it. This is a railroading. It's crap. I can't get into the details, but I'm not going to let my friend go out like that. And it may seem like nothing, but if some cops would come out and say that, that would be a big deal, because I'm going to tell you what. He's in that prison, and he's still defending law enforcement. He was. He did a phone call, and he made like two statements where he talked about how things are hard on cops. I don't know about you, but I would be pissed at cops. I think I would hate them more than I would hate the suspects if I was sitting in his shoes right now.
Well, one of the suspects I saw in one of the videos described the rapist as a black man.
Yeah, I know. I know. I think that was a Donna Davidson's video, and I'm sure that happened because they threw 20 of them out. They are not 27 of them. They originally piled 20 of them on there, and that is what is crazy to me. And these detectives need to be looked at. I'm sorry, because that woman retired immediately after that. 30 years in, she was about ready to hit retirement, and she retired right after that. So she had to know. If she got there 30 years, I don't know what her history is, but I would be kind of curious. It would be very interesting to find out that every two or three years or once a year or something, the same type of thing happens. She gets one guy and piles 40 suspects on him, and that guy goes off to prison. If you start noticing a pattern like that, as long as she's been a detective, there's a problem. There's probably more Daniel Holtzclaws than we realize that are sitting in prison right now that are not cops. They're probably just dudes from the street. And I don't care if they're black, white, I don't give a damn. the way American justice system is supposed to work is that we are supposed to let 10 guilty people go free before we let one single innocent person go to prison. And that's the way it should be. That is a fact. That is the way it should be.
And Jay, I read that the founding fathers during the period of the colonies and the Revolutionary War, and I believe it's in the Farmer's Almanac as well, but they had a saying that said it's better that 100 guilty go free rather than one innocent man go to jail or be executed.
Oh, it is etched in our Christianity and Yahweh's teaching. It's right there. It's right there. That is the most abhorrent, horrible thing that should tears our hearts out immediately, is the idea of somebody falsely being accused of something he didn't do and being tortured and put to death and being thrown in prison is like being dead. I mean, it is. You're being removed from society unjustly and forgotten about. You're gone because that's what happened to him. And it's supposed to be abhorrent to him. The founding father said that. So, yeah, I can believe it.
Yeah.
I could believe it.
Well, you know, the good news, there is a biblical solution to this problem.
I'm interested. I would love to hear this.
Okay. It's a very simple thing. And that's why I love the scriptures and what it teaches, because as my father used to teach me, most solutions are simple. Man makes them complicated, but in reality, they're simple. Here's the simple solution to that. The Bible says very clearly that in a trial, if you falsely accuse or you lie as a witness, you get the sentence that would have gone to the defendant. Now, in this case, if they find out that any of these black women lied, that prosecutor lied, that detective lied, that the judge obscured evidence, that the district attorney somehow obfuscated evidence that would have freed him, every single one of them would get a sentence of 263 years. If we were to do that, just follow the biblical example within our criminal justice system, where if you are found to lie under oath, and it doesn't matter who you are, or if you obstruct justice in any way, you get the sentence. Now, can you imagine this, Jay? There's a man that's convicted, or not convicted, but he's accused of, let's say, murder. And let's say we're in a state where you can be executed for murder, as the Bible commands, by the way. And we find out that the judge withheld exculpatory evidence. We find out that the prosecutor also hid evidence. We find out that the accuser lied. And we took all three of them out and put him in front of a firing squad and executed him. Do you think we would have as much lying in the courtroom as we have today?
Oh, I know. No, you're absolutely right. You're 100% right. And what is the worst is, this is in all of Anglosphere, in every white country, every one of them, Europe, Australia, Canada, America, they're worse than other nations. This is the standard that not only, like, okay, maybe if you can get the prosecutor, they might get something, but those females will get nothing. Nothing. No charges, no nothing. Guys go to prison and get released and have, there's probably like 10 or 15 of them every year that have been in prison since the 80s that they do DNA test stuff on, they appeal the case, they find out the woman lied, or the woman just comes out and admits it, and the guy gets let out. And they say they do that because, well, you know, if we make it so we're going to harshly punish these liars, they're not going to come out. Well, here's the problem. Why are they doing this in the first place? Why is that a problem? Is that something we need to come out and be honest about? Do we need to come out and be honest and say, hey, I'm sorry, it's just the way. It's kind of like we say with blacks. Did they commit more violent crime? Yeah, there's always going to be outliers, but when you're having a conversation about race, you're not talking about individuals. You were talking about groups. You're talking about a people. And as a people, blacks get involved in a lot of crime. They rape white people. They cause problems, and they're not good in our societies. That, you know, at the same time, we and this gets into MGTOW stuff, we kind of might, do we need to come out and say, hey, look, sorry, ladies, You have a propensity to do this. You will do this. You will lie. You will act emotionally and not logically, and you will say these things. I know that sounds inflammatory, but there's no other way to say this because the evidence is clear. The evidence is obvious. Well, and that's the only way to solve the problem is that we need to discuss it when people are young. It needs to be a part of a discussion. People need to know it. It's, you know, it's like Sun Tzu says, know yourself and your enemy, and you will win 100 battles. Know yourself and nothing about your enemy, and you'll win half the battles. Know the enemy and know nothing about yourself, and you are destined to lose. Don't fight.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I read many years ago, I remember taking civics class in school, and then as an adult, I read extensively on all this because of injustices I've watched happen. In fact, just within this past week, this hits close to home because a personal friend of mine, he went through a very similar thing years ago in Washington State where he was falsely accused. And I come to find out after the meeting that he and I were having a drink and talking this over. And he told me that he had spent 4 years behind bars fighting to finally he got his exoneration. All charges were dropped. And my first question was, what happened to the false accuser? And his answer was nothing. Now, here I believe in the Bible. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in righteous indignation. My righteous indignation was boiling over. How can a man spend 4 years in jail fighting for his freedom, knowing he did not commit the crime? And when he shows and proves that that crime had not been committed and that authorities lied and hid evidence, how is it nobody is punished? Jay, that's a crime in and of itself.
Yes, and this is the problem with the law. The law, man's law is the problem. I have figured out in life and looking at the law while I prioritize what I do, I always run by the idea that the crimes that are crimes that I can tie directly back to one of the Ten Commandments are the priority cases. You know, if I have a chance to – if two cars are going either direction – and I have one car that I know has got 10 kilos of cocaine going one direction, and I got the other car that's got a TV that's worth $400 that was stolen in the back of the other car, but I can only catch one of them. The one I should catch is the guy that committed the theft. Why? Because that is a live, human-breathing Christian victim, and he comes priority. Those drugs, yeah, that's going to be a more famous case, but those drugs are a crime against the state. The state is like elective in college. That is the way – policy throughout law enforcement, the philosophy, law enforcement, I say all time needs philosophy, should be that you prioritize living, breathing victims over the state. The state is it's like an elective in college. It can be dropped at the first sign of trouble. The first sign of a real victim, you drop the elective and you focus on the living, breathing subject. That's who's paying your salary. That's who you prioritize.
Well, that sounds good. This case is certainly fraught with injustice. Michelle Malkin, I salute her for going after this, and all the rest of the people and the website builders and everything else. I hope Daniel gets justice. But as you said, this is repeated over and over and over. I am so sick and tired of a criminal justice system that has gone so far off the track. Because our court system was supposed to be very simple, very plain, and very Christian. In fact, if it were up to me, the judge would no longer be called a judge because the judge is only a referee. He does not pass any sentence. He does not convict. A judge's job is simply to referee that the accuser and the accused have a fair trial. In other words, that the jury... In the old days, it used to be judges, but nowadays we use a jury. An impartial jury can hear the facts of the case honestly and clearly. Both sides present their case, and then they will make a judgment. That's what's supposed to happen. And all the referee is supposed to do is make sure that there's order in the court and that both sides have equal opportunity to present their case and their evidence. That's it. It's a very simple process.
And you're absolutely absolutely right. Everybody needs to remember something. Words have power, okay? And prior to, I don't know when it changed, but I'm going to tell you something right now. Judges do not issue rulings. Judges issue opinions. Opinions. There's very a lot of power in legal text, and judges do not rule anything. They issue opinions. And another thing is something the Founding Fathers did was the reason why judges are elected in most places in America, as I understand, the reason why judges are elected is because judges were never designed to be these intellectual lawyers that is – we all know who makes up most of the lawyers. Awful coincidental. There's a lot of Bergs and Steins running around in there. And because that is our enemy's preferred battlefield. The enemy has not pulled off a successful military operation since Abraham was alive. You ever look up reports on Israel's military and you actually get like CIA and old general reports, I mean, they will just tell you about incompetence after incompetence, foolish decision after foolish decision. We all know what's going on in Palestine, but let's just face facts. If that was us, if the French decided they wanted Palestine, they wanted to have that nation there, Palestine would no longer exist. They would have took care of that in two or three years. Just like they say, if the Germans really wanted to kill all the Jews, they'd be dead. They would have been done with them by 1940. It would have been over. The South Africans wanted to kill blacks. The South Africans would have decimated them. There would have been none in the country. It would have been over within a few years. We are not like that. We don't do things like that. But the Jews, however, look at them, they're perpetual war. They're perpetual wars going on for us. Ridiculous. You can't get that problem figured out. Well, God, I think God looks out for them. He knows they're wrong. He knows what they're doing is wrong, and it produces a lot of suffering. But it just goes to show you, they don't. Our enemy does not are not warriors. They're not. Their preferred battlefield is this intellectual, convoluted nightmare we call courtrooms of the law. And the reason why judges are elected is because a judge was supposed to be a guy that you knew from your – the kind of guy you would think about and go, well, you know what? If I had to stand before that guy, that's a straight shooter. He's not interested in anybody's game. He doesn't get it all. You know, I trust him. That guy would give me a straight shot. And now it's degenerated to the point where judges – it's like some weird – like they need to have gone to law school and everything. And guys often say, well, that's because judges need to – I know how to operate a room. And I go, well, there's too much obsession with the courtroom. Something has gone terribly wrong if something goes wrong in your life, you're going to have to go into a room that is made up of a religion, we'll call the law, that you don't necessarily understand. And if you try to read it, it reads like stereo instructions from the 80s and is confusing and convoluted and constantly rolled over on each other and is made of all this crap. So you need these interpreters called lawyers, and they're up there running their mouths about all kinds of stuff that you don't necessarily understand what's going on, but your life is in this guy's hand that you're paying tons of money to, and maybe you'll get off. That is insane. That's why they're lynch mobs, vigilant, and they're really vigilance committees and stuff like, what is the guy's name in Georgia that started the ADL, the famous case in Georgia with the rapist?
I think you're talking about
Leopold. Was it Loeb? Well, was it not Leopold Loeb? But
I know.
Hey, I think we mentioned that.
So. You're talking about the Jew that raped and murdered the girl, and then he was exonerated by the judge, but the townspeople lynched him.
Yes.
Is that the one you're talking about?
That's what I mean. Is because well, you have to think about it. Those people were way more Christian back then. They understood that, yeah, it's okay to go do that because the court system is man's law, and man's law is inevitably corrupt. Now, here's the thing. And I'm not saying mob justice is great, is the way to go. That can be problems. But I'm going to tell you what, it's actually was a lot better than people think. I would say probably equal number of people that were lynched incorrectly by a town. I bet there were more that were sent off to prison and die, or just as many that were sentenced to hang by court systems that were screwy and corrupt and didn't know what they were doing. I bet the number's equal when you actually look at it. But then I'll say one other thing that we don't have to get into it, but blacks lynched constantly. A lot of the pictures you see of blacks hanging from trees, so many of them were blacks did it to each other. They were notorious about it. They actually lynched whites. They lynched a lot of whites, too. Most people, that's another thing. Maybe we can do another show about it. I put all together a big, long document with all kinds of photographs and incidents where it happened. So, but that is, you know, it's like dueling in the South. In the South, that was a big problem for them. them were dueling. And it was because white men need a way of solving a dispute instantly that does not cost him half his bank account, it's not going to ruin him and cause him to give money to people that he doesn't like, to talk a language that he doesn't care for and he finds problematic most of the time, when he has a book that explains everything he needs to that he needs to know to fix that situation. So we would duel. And you know, people don't know how many duels were over, like, I think you stole my pen, I think you shorted me on money. And oftentimes, somebody did die. Oftentimes, they would get back to back, and they would look, and they would realize, oh, man, I'm about to die for $5. And they would turn around, they'd fire their guns in the air, and they would work it out. So they would realize it's not necessary, but there were rules. This didn't happen. There was must be there. There must be a second. There was a whole rule book. Well, the states didn't like that. They wanted you in the court. They put you in the courtrooms and there, and they said it was more civilized. Well, yeah, it's civilized injustice when you get to this point now. It's a mess. It's a mess.
No, it's not absolutely more civilized. It's just more regulated so that the chosenites can control things to make sure they come out on top.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Jew that you're talking about that had got exonerated when he was actually guilty was Leo Frank.
Yes, I think it was the girl was Fagan, was her last name. Marie Fagan, I think, was the girl, the victim.
The victim, yeah. Her name, I believe, was Fagan, yes.
And for such racist people, it was a black guy that was originally suspected. He was the original accuser, and we saw past it. And they did exactly what they should have done right there. They did exactly, honestly, I don't like the idea of prisons. I don't remember reading a lot about prisons in the Bible. Prisons are a very inefficient way of dealing with people that are repeat offenders, and I think we could do better. I don't like prisons. I don't like the whole idea of prison systems. It's very inefficient, and it doesn't work. It is a huge problem.
Well, thank you, Jay, for leading us into that segue, because guess what the Bible says we should do in the case of incarceration? Here again, the Bible's way of justice is very simple, very swift, as our Constitution says justice is supposed to be. It's not justice anymore because you can spend 2 years in jail waiting to go to trial. That's a sentence. The Bible says it very, very clearly that you're to hold your trial almost immediately as soon as the evidence can be put together. And if you're found guilty, there's only two biblical solutions. The first one, if it's a capital case and you're found guilty by a fair and impartial jury, you are to be executed. Okay, that's number one. Number two, if it's a crime such as theft, then you are to make restitution to the victim, not the state. The state never gets anything. The victim gets restitution. Case in point, you steal my car. Okay, the next morning, the police come back and my car's returned to me and it's still in good shape and everything else. The young man or whoever stole it owes me my car back and another car as a form of punishment. If my car is totaled, he would owe me five cars. The original plus four as punishment for ruining my car. Now, he does not go to prison. He works off his debt. He owes me five cars. He goes to work, has a job, still goes home to his family if he has one, but he works. He takes out of his paycheck enough to feed his family and pay his bills, and then the rest goes to restoring my five cars. Now, people I've told this to, and they go, well, that'll never work. And I said, well, why is that? Well, nobody in his right mind is going to work to pay that kind of thing off. I said, well, then do you know what the Bible solution to that is? If you refuse to pay the victim the way the court says to do, or the judges say to do, the jury, then that is considered blasphemy. The punishment for blasphemy is death. So if the criminal doesn't want to pay, it becomes a capital offense. You get rid of his lazy ass by executing him. Now, how much simpler could it be? And we could get rid of this whole contemptible, doesn't work, Prison Industries, which makes Jews money again by enslaving prisoners to work for next to nothing so Prison Industries can make money, which is another travesty, another unbiblical thing we're doing, another reason why our criminal justice system doesn't work, and another reason why we have so many repeat offenders, criminals that are caught over and over and over, because we're not obeying God's law, which says that in most cases, these guys have committed a crime where they should be executed. There would be no more rapes, no more murders, because they're going to be in the dirt feeding the worms where they belong.
And, yeah, I'll tell you something else. I can see, like, let's say we're having some, we got some SJWs here on that argument. I can see somebody standing up and going, "You just say that because you want to kill a bunch of black people." And I would look over and go, "Well, since you mentioned the fact that black people don't seem to function very well in white societies, well, maybe we can make an understanding of that. You shouldn't be here." Because you don't seem to have, democracy, you know, the ideas that we come up with, not so much democracy, but, you know, Western ideals, libertarianism, freedom of speech, but self-responsibility attached with that. Like, those are very European Western ideals. And there's just, I mean, other than the Japanese, there's just very few races that pull it off successfully, that can have an operating society somewhat successfully. And trying to instill these kind of ideas onto people like that, it hurts them. It causes a mess. It inevitably creates a mess. It's kind of like, you ever had a friend in life that, like, parents died, or for some reason they came into a bunch of money when they were 18? It just hit him. And he ended up burning through it, and worse off that he had the money by the time he's like 22 or something than if he would have got it later, or have been fed to him a little slower, or he had to wait until he was a little smarter before all that came to him. Well, in a weird way, he was set up to fail. I was 18 and you suddenly gave me $1 million and I was on my own. My God, imagine the havoc I would cause. And I would probably, that's what I would have probably done. Anybody would have done that. And any father would know. Yeah, that's a problem. You can't do that. That's just setting the poor kid up to fail.
Well, the first thing we have to do is the real men in this country need to get together. And the very first thing is that we'll be in agreement. And the second thing is, we could care less what the libtards, the snowflakes, the liberals, the Jews, the media, we could care less what they say. We know, you and I know, James knows, the police officers I personally know, the veterans that I personally know, all know that the things that we're talking about tonight would work. The only reason it's not working is we have not forced the issue. We're still worrying about trying to wage war against the communists who have infiltrated our country politely. As my Baptist buddy has asked me over and over, when are we going to take off the gloves? We are in a fight. These people mean to destroy our country, our way of life, and if they can get away with it, destroy you and I as individuals. When are we going to take the gloves off and let's get down and get dirty and get this over with? We know that what we're talking about is God's law and it works. That is why they don't want us to do it, because these libtards, these Khazar Jews in the criminal justice system will be some of the first people that we will hang. They know that. That's what they're afraid of. That's why they don't want a bunch of white men to rise up to power and do the right thing. Because if we do the right thing, if we do the biblical thing, they not only lose power, many of them will lose their lives.
That is absolutely right. And I'm going to tell you something. I've said it before, and I'm going to say something right now, that with all, you see all these stuff about, martial law coming in 2017, gun control, there's going to be a zombie apocalypse, the end is coming, or the president's going to refuse to leave office, or the Chinese are going to invade, or zombies are going to march across the earth, whatever it is. And Alex Jones and YouTube channels push it. And I'm going to tell you guys something right now. Why would our enemy ever purposely destabilize? Why would the enemy create a situation that destabilizes their own system? They own the courts, the cops, and most importantly, the prisons. And that is how they control us. We do not fear death. I've talked about before. We fear prison. That is why we are all, people are always talking about end times prophecies or this martial law or economic collapse or the zombie apocalypse, you know, and put in, insert whatever thing you want. Because what it is people, we kind of like secretly want them to do these things because that would destabilize the law enforcement prison system, which would create a situation where armed patriots could attack the state and possibly get away with it, which is why guys like Alex Jones and others like him constantly tease us with these issues and these situations. So we will continue to sit around and wait because – everybody knows, well, if you try to create that situation to yourself, you might end up going to prison. That's right. That's right. You got a point there. So, and I'm not saying we need to do that because honestly, there are ways to do this totally nonviolent. There are ways to do it. But the problem is we need to come to terms that what we need to realize is we're waiting around for the enemy to do us a favor. They are not going to purposely destabilize their own system, which puts them in danger and gives guys, people like us a chance to seize power over them. We must realize that what you're doing is waiting for the enemy to do us a favor. And we're running out of time. Every generation gets dumber. We get weaker. And while the enemy continues to get stronger because we are waiting for our enemy to do us a favor and they are never going to do this ever. And that conversation, that statement right there needs to be in our minds at all time. Something like that ever will happen. Either Yahweh, we let it get so bad that Yahweh felt like he's got to do something. Which I just as a father, it's kind of like that's like you know if you keep bailing your kid out of prison, he's never gonna fix the problem. You don't love and you're not helping your kid if you don't let him eat the punishment every once in a while. You don't give him that tough love and because you need to see him rise above it because he's not a true man until he does that. He'll never be able to survive on his own. It's like we said earlier, setting him up to fail. And if something like that were to ever happen, either Yahweh caused it, but more likely our enemy made a mistake, and those are very rare. Those are very rare because the enemy needs that system. They know we outnumber them. They know this is the most heavily armed country in the world. And anybody that knows anything about how operations or insurrections happen, guns are not a big deal. You don't stockpile firearms. That's the dumbest thing in the world I've ever seen people do because it's like all you're doing is creating something for ATF agents to stand in front of and take great pictures for the newspaper while you lose all your land and your stuff because some idiot you had around got in trouble and ran his mouth somewhere he shouldn't, and next thing you've lost everything. In reality, any rebel forces throughout the history of military, you get your weapons from the enemy. They will provide them. There are guns everywhere, and fully automatic weapons are not important. Not toys, and it's not about that. The Boers held off the English forever, and they could have won that, but the Boers hit them on the English put their families in concentration camps, were starving them to death, and I get that, and then, you know, that's a whole other touchy subject with them, but I kind of understand it, but they didn't have near the weapons. They, as time went on, they appropriated them from the enemy. How do you think Castro got through? All that stuff. It's not about that. It's about realizing it. We got to realize and stop sitting around on these false ideas. The enemy is never going to do us a favor. Once we realize that, well, then we'll start having conversations that, you know, I mean, guys, the army is the enemy has killed something like 11,000 or 13,000 of our soldiers since 9/11, but 250,000+ of them have committed suicide since then. As far as I'm concerned, right there, that is a moral injustice, and letting them continue to have a military and send those guys overseas for whatever stupid reason. Your son is not worth a drop of oil. Your daughter is not worth a drop of oil. Their arms and legs and blood is not worth a drop of oil. We will figure something else out. And if you just have one town suddenly said, you know, we cannot, as moral individuals, as Christians, we cannot continue to pay income tax in this town, and we're no longer going to do it. You know what? Counties would follow you all everywhere. But you got to have some balls. You're going to have your citizens out there going, hey, by the Constitution, by the law, the federal government doesn't have the power. If your IRS agents come down here, we're going to do you people that want to kill and hurt our children. That is what our government is doing right now in wars that we don't want and we don't need. And it's quite clear. We are This is not violent. We're just not going to continue to feed these idiots who produce nothing, these politicians, money. We're not going to give them money. And, you know, and I'll give you a perfect example. Look at what happened at the first thing at the Bundy Ranch. Look at that setup. They're all lined up. The cops have got his cows. They've got, you know, they've got the MRAPs, the Humvees, the armored vehicles, machine guns. They're ready to dance. They backed down. They backed down. Well, you know, somebody brought up something. He goes, you know, I wonder if a shot would have been fired. What do you think would have happened if a bullet went off? Because let's remember, guys, the first shot that started the Revolutionary War, the shot heard around the world, we still don't know who fired. Technically, I don't think anybody noticed anybody get hit on that shot. That could have been some guy in the background that just said, you know what, I'm just going to kickstart this. That's a lot of things, and I'm not saying guys should do things like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, what do you think would have happened if some idiot, either on Bundy's side or the other, would have screwed up and fired his gun into the ground? People would have died. But I'll tell you what, it would have been on. And that is why the enemy backed down right away. They knew it. They said, I don't care. Yeah, you'll machine gun that party, and then freaking half the freaking white country is going to be burning the White House in 48 hours. No, back off. We will lose. Back off. That's a sign right there, guys. It's right there. They knew that was bad. Like, I guarantee that was somebody from president or, you know, some Stein that runs the president saw. What is Harry Reid doing? You freaking idiots. Oh, my God. You were about ready to freaking sail the whole boat down the river right when we got them almost all genocide. Sorry, I had to go on a little rant there.
Well, no, but you're right. The enemy plays with us. And you know, here's the sad part. The sad part is if righteous men would get together and just calmly decide, I've had enough, stop being afraid, stop putting knives in each other's backs, and just say, we've had enough. It could even start at the county level with a very good constitutional sheriff, where the men of the county get together and tell the sheriff, we've got your back, we're done. We're done playing games with these people. They're criminals. Everybody in Washington, D.C. is a criminal. When you violate your oath of office, you've become a criminal. So they treat us like criminals when, in fact, they are the criminals. These central bankers are traitors and criminals. Most of these lawyers are traitors and criminals. The courthouses are their venue, not ours. That's why they fly a flag with a gold fringe. That's a military flag. A civilian court should never have a military flag in it. That's telling you that you're in their jurisdiction and they'll do to you what they wish. It's a martial law type situation. That's why the Constitution doesn't save you. That's why they can do pretty much anything they want to you. You have entered into their jurisdiction voluntarily, and therefore you've given up your God-given rights as a citizen of a Christian constitutional republic. So we could go on and on and on. But the answer, and Christ told us this in Scripture, if you just read it, if people would just read it for what it says and stop listening to these prostitutes behind the pulpit. They're liars. They're part of the scam. He told us that if we come together in one accord, that means in agreement, Jay, correct?
Yes.
If we come together in one accord, which means that we are Rhadamanthine in our beliefs, that in Rhadamanthine is a Greek word and it's in the English now, and it just means strictly and uncompromisingly just. It's unfortunate people don't know about the word because it doesn't apply to very many Americans anymore. But it should apply. It should apply to you, Jay. It should apply to me. It should apply to our folks here at Eurofolk Radio. It should apply to the white race as a whole. That's what the word Aryan means. Noble. Noble means the same thing. Uncompromisingly just. And that's what's wrong today. The white man has forgotten how to be noble, how to be an Aryan. If our men at arms, our warriors, would get together in agreement that injustice is going to come to an end. It doesn't matter who's doing it. It doesn't matter how much money they've got. It doesn't matter what kind of political position they hold. if they have violated God's law, if they have violated the contract called the Constitution and their oath of office, then they are traitors, and they will be dealt with as traitors. I'm going to tell you, I think it would be like in the movie Field of Dreams, where he says over and over again, if you will build it, they will come. Trump's ascendancy shows that there are still tens and tens of millions of red-blooded Americans who are pissed off and fed up, and they're going to back somebody who's going to try to make a difference. I don't know what Trump's heart is really like, but I know that this movement has nothing to do with Trump. It's got to do with the fact that the white race is finally starting to realize that the game is over, and if we don't get them together here pretty soon and get our act together, then you can kiss this nation and maybe even kiss our race goodbye.
Well, everybody is, you know, I mean, people, families that are awake, if your kids are in public school so you can make extra money, so you can donate to this cause or buy more guns or whatever, you are sentencing your own death, because unless you have a plan to do something before you're too old to do anything about it, you're going to dump this problem on your kid. And when you go to dump it on him, he's going to be dumped. He'd be so indoctrinated. They are teaching homosexuality in the elementary schools. It is ridiculous. If your kid is in public school, you are already running out. You're running out. It's the indoctrination is so bad, by the time the kids that are in, you know, first grade right now get to high school, they're gone. You're gone. Even if you're going to, even if your kids are in some small town in Kentucky going to elementary school, they're all on the same program. Go get your history book out. Start flipping through it. See what it actually says, and you'll realize real fast you're already messing up. All right, at this time, it really is a. It would be better if you had to retreat a little bit from donating to cause, so you could homeschool your kid with the right information, with the truth and the right history. That would be a better move for the future than you buying guns and being around for the enemy. It's a favor.
All right, now okay, we've discussed that injustice with Daniel's case and some of the things that are wrong today. Let's take this now, since we were talking about in the case of Daniel there, these women that have falsely accused men of rape. Let's go into the MGTOW, men going their own way. Let's do a little discussion here about that movement, why it has come to be so popular, and where do we think it's going to go?
Okay, this happens to be something I know quite a bit about. I'll try to, there's a lot of technicals that get boring. I'll tell anybody that's listening, if you really want to know the, you know, intellectual facts, the boring facts of what, you know, what it is that the things I bring up, a good source, it would be Turd Flinging Monkey. I know it sounds goofy, but he actually has a lot of videos where he breaks this down, and you can fact check all the stuff I'll mention. He goes into, and he understands it. Now, I don't think that guy's a white guy. He's not, and I think he might be another race. Doesn't matter, because what MGTOW is, MGTOW is a sickness that our enemy exploited that's always been there, and it is between men and women. And every race in the world is subjective. Now, the reactions that happen once this you could call it feminism, but in reality, what we know it as is gynocentrism. And it's basically you revolving your society around women. And even in a patriarchy, as feminists just say, technically you're revolving your society around women. And we do this. Inevitably, we do this. The Bible tried to offer, in all the religious texts, offer this. You can revolve to protect women, but the authority of decision always must remain with the man. And I can prove that this turned out to be true, because MGTOW is very old. This is not a new philosophy. MGTOW repeats itself multiple times. The first time we've gotten history noticing it, it's not called MGTOW, but where everything that what MGTOW is, and it stands for men going their own way, showed up our first time in ancient Sumeria. And the process, in very simplest term, goes like this. A society reaches a point where they start conquering other nations, and they get riches, and they get slaves. slaves and get a situation going where men are out fighting and being generals. Women have these slaves to do a lot of this household drudgery and be nursemaids to their kids and all this stuff. And they get freed up with time. And then they just decide, well, I'm going to take a more of a role in business and politics. And they want to get the right to vote. And that's the first thing that starts coming in. And then all of a sudden, it's a steady cascade of symptoms until the society's death. The next thing that happens is you suddenly notice you have a divorce problem. Then you end up with a no-fault divorce. That's the next one. Key. Bam. That showed up in Sumeria. That showed up in Rome. And that showed up in the Spartan Empire. They all went down like this. Then all of a sudden, once you got them getting divorced, you know, women are dangerous to date because the state allows them to take things from them. The state sides with the women against the man, and everybody just figures that's the way it should be. And inevitably, women push the subject. Women are nesters. They want resources to provide for their children, and on some reptilian instinctive level, the reptilian brain, what I was about to say there, instinctive level within their minds, they're just naturally going to hoard as many resources as possible. And what is the best way to do that? Well, I'll get the state to force more resources out of him, and then I can move on and I can have another man, have other kids with. It's very boring stuff. Go into the turd flinging monkey stuff. I don't get the technicals, but it shows up. Then what do you have? Well, now that men are not wanting to get married to women, you start getting some degeneracy. Homosexuality starts showing up. Pedophilia. Ancient Sparta had state-sponsored pedophilia. It's very kind of wild, but it showed, and you'll see this, where men don't want to be around women because they're dangerous, because the state always sides with them. We see this today in Spain and in Israel, and I'll get into that part, but in Spain, it is like a sport to lay false allegations against men. It just happens all the time. A man goes to jail, and it happens all the time in America. We call it domestic violence. If we show up to a domestic violence scene, the man is almost always arrested. And laws, I have a law in my state that it ends up putting it on the individual officer. The individual officer decides, you know what, I don't think a fight happened here. This isn't right. I can't prove who's done it. So I'm just not, call me back when one of you does something, because I'm not going to take one of you free away. And I'm not sure. Well, they put this law in place that says, well, if the law enforcement officer makes that decision and he leaves, and let's say the wife or the husband kills the other, the family of them or could go after the law enforcement officer. They could sue him. They could sue the individual law enforcement officer that made that decision and walked away. Or he could face criminal charges. Well, great. What's going to happen then? Well, the CYA himself, he's just going to take the freedom away of one of them. Well, what's less controversial? We'll just take the man's freedom away. And it's done that simply and that callously. And it's, they were like, well, I'll get sued, or I'll lose my job, or I'll end up going to jail because I didn't act. It's sick. And anyway, so that stuff's going on. So in Spain, it's really bad. Spain and Madrid has one of the first, and apparently it's very successful, sex doll brothel. Think of how disgusting and just wild that is. It is a sex doll where they buy the expensive ones over from Japan, and it is a brothel. Go look it up. It's in Madrid. And these guys go there because it's so dangerous to associate with the women because of the state. They get mad for one reason. All they gotta do is make that call, and she could be beating on you. She could be beating on you, and you call the police to get them off. The police will take you to jail. Go check it out. There's videos on it. And anyway, so that's going on in ancient Sumeria, ancient Rome. Sparta was a little different. Like, Sparta went really bad into it. I won't get into the details of that, but ancient Rome, Sumeria, they have that. So now then you start getting things like bachelor taxes. And America had a bachelor tax for a while, back in New Jersey, it was proposed. It was to try to force men to marry the women. Well, no matter how bad that bachelor tax was, it is not worth having your lives, your children ripped apart from you in family court, your soul ripped out by just, you can't get close to them, you're separated from for whatever spiteful reason, they teach them to hate them, and then nobody gives a damn. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to you're going to go cry to somebody? Men that have been divorced five times and are paying four different kids. Well, some guy will come up crying, go, I don't get what happened. Why is it saying? They'll go, well, toughen up, you son of a bitch. Man up. I'll tell you what man up means. Man up means go be a slave. Go be a slave. Go take your injustice like a big boy. Well, that's not a man to me. A man does not act like a slave. A man resists that. And I see see it all the time. And then you have and then you have child support laws. That child support was in Samaria, it was Rome. And inevitably, what MGTOW is it's men deciding, well, this is too dangerous to mess around with women, so I'm not going to do it. I'm just, you know, we have it, they call them MGTOW monks. That's the most extreme, where they don't associate at all. They don't date them anymore. They'll have nothing to do with it. The whole philosophy devoted to that. And it's also to starve the system of resources. Something that happened, I do believe this was in America. I could be wrong. But the marriage rates have fallen very far. And when Trump got elected, all these Muslims felt like they were going to have to leave. So they were, all these white women are marrying these Muslim guys, and I think they're doing it for supposed social justice warrior causes. The story just came out recently. It was in a newspaper. I saw a video on it yesterday. But anyway, what's going on is the state realized what's happening. They realized what was happening, and they're like, oh, wait a second, this isn't good. These women are going to be married. So they actually instituted a quick law that says, okay, we'll marry you, but you are obligated, whether you get divorced a year from now for 10 years, you are immediately obligated to help pay for this woman. Immediately obligated. Well, that didn't make any sense. That doesn't sound like an empowered women feminist idea. That didn't make sense. Why? Because the state doesn't give a damn about the fact that you're a woman and chivalry and men. No, it doesn't care. It just cares about money. And you're going to get more money out of men. If you want to get money out of somebody, if the state thought it could get more money out of the woman, then it would be men that have the children. They just know inevitably men will work harder. They will dedicate more of their lives to the job. We're built for it. It's what we do. And we'll get more money. If he puts all these restrictions on a poor woman, she won't. And that's why, you know, women get arrested for failing to pay child support. Not that it happens, but it is not like it is for men. They are after men. They go after them. And these guys that have a one-night tryst with a girl in college, and she shows up and says she's pregnant later, and he doesn't have anything to do with the kid, and he's like Devin cash jobs, because if he takes in any money, they'll be out for child support, and he's weird stuff, and they call him deadbeat dad. What? Let me pose something to you. If that happens, and I'm not saying either way this is right, I'm just saying this is the situation. Man has a one-night stand with a woman, comes back, she's pregnant. She has three options right now. She has three options. She can either A, get an abortion. Saying I'm not getting into the idea of right and wrong on that. Let's just, this is what it is. She can get an abortion. She can take the morning after pill. Let's let that one in. She can give it up for adoption, or in certain states, they can do this up to the age of 10. At any point, she can drop it off at the fire station, ring the doorbell, and drive away. Why did that law come into place? Because in the 80s and 90s, there were so many cases of women dumping them in toilets and throwing them in trash cans. So it was a way to stop this from happening. Do you know how many chances the man has to remove himself financial responsibility of the child? None. She has four. The man basically has been extorted. He's being forced into fatherhood. She has all the choice, he has none. So as far as I'm concerned, you're basically putting no authority. You're giving him no authority. You're just putting responsibility on him. Well, that is how prisons works. And any guy that's worked in a prison will tell you that if you tell a prisoner, hey, I need you to get up there and change that light and walk away on the rec yard and then come back 10 minutes later, that guy will be trying to spider monkey his way up the wall. He'll not bother to go get a ladder and do it correctly. He'll end up hurting himself, and you'll end up in trouble because you didn't watch it. Why? Because why should he give a damn? Why should he care? Who cares? He's in there because you put him there. He doesn't need to be responsible for nothing. You're responsible for everything. So he has no authority over nothing. And he's put all these responsibilities on him, so that's why there's so much goofiness and stupidity. It's a totally inefficient run system on the inside, and it's because he has no authority. And if you don't grant somebody the authority, how can you hold him responsible for something? Authority is a stick and a carrot. Having the right to have the power of authority over your choices is how we make you responsible. Authority is the carrot. Responsibility is the stick. Well, we took the carrot away. All he gets is stick. All the man gets is stick. Well, you know what? I don't find him as a deadbeat man. I can't see that. He was extorted and forced, and that happens a lot. 30% of people in all of white nations, it's probably worse, are raising kids that are not there. You should go check out the statistics on it from England. And when they got those take-home DNA tests, they were to try to outlaw, because it was getting out of control how many guys were finding out, hey, these aren't my kids. And it doesn't matter. The state will continue to make you pay the child support. It doesn't even matter if they identify who the real father is, because the state doesn't care. It's not about, you know, and it's not about be some chivalrous form or care for the child. No, the state just cares about money. It cares about evil. That's all. It does not care. I just went through a lot of facts right there, but it is staggering, and it is sick, and it is a sickness within us where our enemy came in. What the enemy did is the. I look at it this way. I can't. There isn't the there. How the agendas got. It took hundreds of years for Rome, Sumeria, Sparta to reach the point where they all collapsed. They all collapsed under the same number. They had refugees. They had, you know, foreign refugees brought in because they weren't marrying, they weren't having kids, and there's other problems, but that's always the key symptoms. You always follow the key symptoms that follow the pattern. Follow the patterns. Well, look where we are now. What's going on now? We're bringing these people in. We can't trust them. This is what's happening. And now every race is susceptible to this. The only race that I've been able to find that does not seem happening to is the Muslims. But let's take a look at that. What do the Muslims do when their women decide they want empowerment? They shoot them in the head. They throw them off buildings. They drive over them. They stone them to death. I don't want to live in a society where that's what we're doing to our women all the time. That's crazy. But I have to give them that. Now, they have been brought over here, and when you lay down with white, what's to say, when you lay down with dogs, you stand up with fleas. Well, they've been laying around with the Semitic fleas we got all over us, and they're getting affected. There is now Islamic feminism. It's out there. They're sick. It's one of those things where it's not going to happen, but if they were successful, if they did win and we went extinct, don't worry, they're going to be in shit very fast, because the same evils and fleas and sicknesses we got on us, it's on them. It's on them now. They got it. And it's just inevitable process. There is no way to escape it. It is between men and women. Now, what the Jews did is, I think they, they brought this fast. This happened fast. We went in less than 100 years, because we were shot out. It really, the death nail was nailed in at the hell of when the abortion was put in, because that gave it that choice, and that was the death nail. And, you know, and all the rest of it was symptoms of the inevitability. There was the voting rights, and then there was no-fault divorce, and child support laws, and abortion, and God, look where we are now. We got Milo Yiannopoulos. It's like, it's right there, guys. And all the Jews did is they just knew where to hit us. They knew where the weak point in our line was. They knew exactly what to do. Now, the problem is using gynocentrism and feminism as a weapon is a lot like trying to use bubonic plague as a weapon. It's very dangerous. Why? Because you can be infected with it. And we have, the MGTOW guys have this like level system where they consider like, you know, what is the center of hell, the ninth layer or whatever, the worst feminist country in the world. A lot of people will say Sweden, but in reality, it's Israel. Israel is a nightmare of a feminist state. Their RT recently did a documentary on it. Go watch it. Israel's false rape allegation problem that they have, where their Jewish women put false rape allegations and throw their men in jail, is worse than Spain's, and Spain's is crazy bad. It is outrageous. And guys, it's kind of like, we could win, we get angry, spear back, everything, but if we don't figure this problem out, if we don't fix that line, then we are leaving a huge hole that, you know, I don't know, that one day an enemy could exploit. It could exploit and take us down and destroy us fast. Fast. It's kind of like if we had warring nations, if there were 10 planets with whites, and you were like, I'm going to go to war against this other country. Well, how can we do it? Well, let's use the nuclear option. Oh, we're going to insert feminism in there, huh? That's what it would be. It would, it'll bring down their society fast. Insert it. It'll collapse fast. And it works every time. And I think all the Jews did is they just knew where to hit us. They knew where to go after us. They knew where the weak point in the line was, and they hit us on our women. And men do not fall. Men do not practice their authority. We want to support women. We don't want to have to do that. We don't want to act like Muslims. We don't want – we're not beating women. We don't like that. Average man sees a woman getting hit, and even your average MGTOW type guy, he's not going to stand there and let that happen. He's going to try to protect you. He would probably bypass a man that needs help to protect the women. It's just how we are, and they exploit it. And where guys get mad and vitriolic about it is women support it. And they get the attitude of, well, why should I give a damn about a woman of my race when that's how they act? And it's very hard to snap a guy out of that. And that's why MGTOW as a society doesn't like, there are some, you know, white MGTOW that get it. And inevitably, because we don't necessarily, what is the solution? I don't know, but you know, there are ideas being pushed through. There are things out there, but we got to figure this out. This is like, I'm not saying got to do this now. We need to talk about it. But when this is all over, we got to put some serious laws and rules into place that prevents this from ever happening again, or we're just doing it ourselves. It's kind of calm.
I have a novel suggestion. Why don't we obey God's law?
Yeah, we don't have to be near as brutal as the Muslims, nowhere near as brutal as the Muslims, and it will work. And the Muslims have actually proven, because they're very, for comparison, the Muslims have a lot of, it's just rough, it's extreme. We don't have to do it that extreme, and it'll work, because it did. It does work with them. They did not start screwing up. It's never happened in their society. I've never been able to find it. No serious evidence. All the others have it.
Well, like I said, if we would just obey God's law as far as how our families are put together and our society put together, it would solve the problem. Because if you look at Genesis, that's when Eve was seduced by the Nakash, and she was seduced because Adam walked away. Adam forgot to protect her. And that's our job. Our job is to provide coverture. That's an ancient custom, coverture for a woman. And in the Bible, Adam forgot his first order of business, which was to make sure that Eve was always kept away from the other trees. And when he walked away, that surly little serpent went over and started whispering in her ear. And they have figured it out ever since then. The way to get to our women is to turn them against the men and whisper in their ears that they can be gods unto themselves. In other words, they can be their own authority. When God's law said that man was to be an authority, it didn't mean to abuse. It didn't mean to take advantage of or whatever. It just simply meant that man was to be the head of the household. And I can remember as a child that the male heads of the household, you didn't come into the household unless you were invited. If you were to walk through somebody's front door unannounced, you would probably get shot, or at the very least beaten up or stabbed with a pitchfork. You didn't come into the house without the male of the house's okay. You didn't come up, talk to the girls, the teenage girls or young girls or the wife. You didn't talk to them unannounced. You didn't just stop your car like a used car salesman or a vacuum cleaner salesman and just willy-nilly walk up and start talking to the women of the house, or the man would come and dispatch you. So it wasn't all that long ago. It was still the way it was done. The man protected his household from outsiders. Think about that. Our women have been infected with these alien ideas. They think it's freedom, but it's really not. The enemy has figured out how to get to them and turn them into play toys for them. I mean, come on, let's face it. Feminism, what did you gain? Let's see. Okay, now women are getting cancer from smoking cigarettes, just like the men. Now women have cirrhosis of the liver and other problems due to alcoholism. Women are getting sexual transmitted diseases, as the men used to get when they were out playing around. So you've really come a long way, gals. I mean, really, feminism has done you a lot of good. Back in the day, men made sure your life was as good as they could give it for you, and they protected you. Now you're without protection. You've allowed the enemy to convince you that the white man's your enemy when actually he's your protector. And now look at the mess we're in. So again, I say, when are we going to learn it's God's law or chaos? We're living in chaos. The answer will always be obey God's law.
And look at what is out there for women. A woman that's Christian, she's pro-wife, everything's going good, she's young, she's going to get married. As long as the current state is in place, where are we? We're standing under that tree, and temptation is everywhere. Every law, everything you would reach out for, out of all the potential outside help, all the forbidden fruit, no, destroy the relationship between you and your man and everything, they're there. And if you reach out, you'll win every time. If you lay a false allegation, if you call the police, if you, all of that's there. If you want to take all his money, if you don't want him around your kids anymore, if you get mad at him one day, whatever it is, it's all there. And he will not say anything, because along with saying that, what did he do? He walked away. Well, what do money, and then they have this long discussion where the snake interjects periodically, and they have this long discussion about why she shouldn't do that? Absolutely not. It would have been grabbing her by the arm and saying, you're coming with me. And when she says, well, I kind of want to talk to that, you go, no, you don't. And if you don't understand exactly why, you're going to do what I tell you to do, because you're going to root, you'll destroy everything if you go do that. And that is how it would have looked. That is how it actually would have looked, and probably should have gone down, something like that. And that is a tough pill to swallow. If I was a woman, I would not like that. That would irritate me to think that that's the way it's got to be. Well, guess what? I don't know what else to tell you. It's just like we want to tell people about the Holocaust truth. That's the way it is. Those are the numbers. You can either be in denial and everything will go on and continue to suck. We will die. Or you can accept the truth. And in reality, you end up being happier. Things are better. Society's great. But however, just to hold on to that forbidden temptation a little bit longer, a little bit of power, they always seem to make this decision. And once you've removed the ability of a man to exercise that level of authority over his wife, over his women, over children, it's all over. It's all over. And they know. They know. It's easy. You don't just rip the family right of power. You just get that authority in the woman's hands, who cannot resist the temptations, and it's over. It's over. He will walk away. He will walk away. That's what MGTOW has done. We're walking away. And I have to admit, yes, is that giving into the white genocide? Yes, you are. Yes, you're right. You know, I came across that long before I started waking up, and I look at it now. My line ends with me. It's over. I will never produce any children. By the time we get this settled, it's not going to happen. You know, technically I am genocided. My line, it's done. It's done. All I can do now is try to use the extra time, the money, to not just sit around and play video games and do whatever fun I stuff. I try to put my ass on the line, take the risk that guys with families don't have the free time and can't take the risk to volunteer for the dangerous jobs that the guys with the families can't do. But where even I get irritated is when I find out that those guys are sitting in their house watching football, but yet they don't know who actually caused 9/11 because they don't feel like going over and doing any research on it. That's when I get mad, because I'm like, how do you think what you are doing is virtuous at this point? Because in reality, I'm not leaving anybody behind that's going to have to deal with a mess I was too busy to fix. You are leaving somebody you're supposed to love behind with a mess. And what are you going to say? I don't think Yahweh is going to think that you're virtuous. I'm pretty sure he's going to find what you did very selfish and bad.
Amen to that. We've got about over 90 minutes into the program, so I know you have something you had to do in the morning, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to jump off if you want to get to bed.
Yes, and I just want everybody to know I don't hate women. I got to say this. It's not the way I am. I'm like that. It's just you can't help it. You can't help but get into it, and you see it. And if I sounded vitriolic at some point, I'm not like that. I'm not some guy that hates women and thinks they need to be repressed. That's not it at all. It's not it at all. It's just, this needs to be spoken, and we need to come to terms with it. And if I sounded angry at some point, it's really not it. You just can't help, because it's like when you're trying to argue with your friend that's an Alex Jones watcher and he won't look at the truth. You get angry at him. You want to throw something at him after a minute, because you're realizing you're so close. Why won't you take that final step and come to the absolute truth, and we can fix everything? And that's all that was. I just wanted to say that one time.
Sure. Well, that makes perfect sense. All right. Any closing comments then before I let you go?
You know what, guys? Go look at the Holzfall case. Know what that is. Talk about it. At least know what it is. Talk about it. And, you know, send $10. Send a little money over to the guy who's got the site for the fund. I did it. I mean, you'd be amazed. Just make a little effort on that. At the very least, have it on your lips. Have it on your lips. Talk about it with your people at work. It's something that can be discussed. You don't have to worry about it. That's not a racial issue. If he's not even a part of the white race, but that needs to be discussed. And for any of my officers out there, damn, guys, we really need to talk about this. We really need to think about and talk about. There should be training classes on this entire case. Well, bless all of you, and thank you for listening. Let me come in and rant my ideas for the evening. I appreciate it.
All right, Jay, take care, and Yahweh bless, buddy.
Yahweh bless you too and everyone. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good night.
Good night.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and again, that was Jay with Downtown White Police. The case he was talking about is the Daniel Holzclaw, and his last name is Holtzclaw. LAW, and Oklahoma City is where that was that went down. But and I hope you enjoyed it, and I think we had a little better audio quality tonight. So and praise Yahweh for that. We're starting to figure this technical stuff out. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. And we pray that the awakening would continue, and that the men of Israel, the Jacob Israel men, the white men, would finally come to their senses, shake off the dust off their heads, and wake up and smell the coffee. I mean, the hour is late. The situation is perilous. It's time to get over our petty differences, get over the small slight of the, as Father told us, forgive 70 times 7, be willing to take a slap on the cheek, you know, to, and turn the other cheek. And that wasn't for strangers. That wasn't to be done for strangers. That's to be done for our own brethren in order to keep our unity, to keep our relationship with each other. As Jay and I, if Jay were to come up and slap me for some reason, I'd turn my other cheek because he's my brother. He's a fellow warrior. He's a believer, and he is part of the team that's going to win this victory. And I would know full well that within 24 hours, he would come and offer me a beer and for, ask for forgiveness for what he did to me. You see what I'm saying? But we got so many people for a very slight offense, they want to cut somebody off for the rest of their life and never talk to them and never hear anything out. We're family. You got to remember that. We're family. Family gets over the bumps in the roads and toughs it out. And is victorious. You know, the enemy has figured out how to divide us on so many different levels, as Jay was alluding to. And we need to just ignore what the enemy's doing, and let's focus back on what we originally loved first. Our Heavenly Father, that's number one. And to love our relationship with Him and our relationship with each other. We're on a mission down here, folks. We're being tested. And we're failing the test. And we need to rethink, which is repent. Repent is to rethink, realign our priorities, and realign what we're doing. So again, I hope you enjoyed the program. I'm going to play some music till the end of the hour, and we'll see you back on Euro Folk Radio a week from tonight. Yahweh bless each and every one of you, and hallelujah.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my days that I'm weak, it's hard to believe, still I know He'll see me through. You give me the power to conquer the hour in everything I do. I lift up my voice and I sing songs of joy to the God who reigns on high. You give me new courage, won't let anything hurt me as I sing to Him my song. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my joy I will shout as I rise in the clouds on the day my Lord returns. I'll sit at His table and drink of salvation and praise His holy name. I'll dance around heaven with Moses and Aaron and proclaim what God has done. So be gone, all your troubles and all of your devils, 'cause Jesus, He's my song. Behold, God is my salvation. trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. He has become my Lord.
Away from falling back. Mrs. and Mr. America fret. They huddle around their TV set, they worry and they sweat. They're thinking I'm the enemy, the one they need to get. Because their mind controllers tell them I'm a major threat. The talking heads, the daily press, they cultivate stupidity and harvest ignorance. They point a crooked finger and they're all unanimous by calling me extremist cause I'm down on Zionists. So now I want to sing a new song. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skiddies who realize it was the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. Now what's so bad about being extreme? If I'm extremely innocent, if I'm extremely keen, if I'm extremely paranoid, it's cause of what I've seen. It's written in between the lines of every magazine. The FBI, the CIA, are working for the KGB and getting in my way. Cause they don't like my politics, they dog me every day. I'm getting tired of telling them the problem is oy vey. The enemy is communism. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist.
I just want to get the job done.
Captured by the mob's opposing views. His only guarantee is that he shouldn't be confused. Some may win, but most will lose. Their lives are only figments of the thoughts they cannot choose. And I doubt you'll ever see me on the 6 o'clock news. Exposing lying, thieving, cheating communists. Who made me sing you this song?
I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Jews who did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. I want to be an extremist and I just want to have fun. Cha-cha-cha.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns in the Greens and Lexington. Soon the battles would be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power upon high and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. Through the toil and the tears in the last 100 years, we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround us holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise and bend before the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah.
Messiah. No king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high, and bow to do his will on earth, and rise up and defy the lie, and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but Yehoshua, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel.
The day I rest my weary bones, I'll go to sleep, but not alone. No more to cry, I've found my home. The grave is bare, he rolled the stone. I look around another way and see much more than here today. I've traveled far to reach the grave, no more to weep, no more a slave. The Lord above, he watches o'er his scattered sheep to reach the door and open up forevermore. The day these bones will lie no more, the day these